Welcome back, friends. Now we're going to have the pleasure to hear Micah read for us Isaiah 6. We're choosing the English Standard Version.
Awesome. All right. Isaiah's vision of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Isaiah's commission from the Lord. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump."
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Isaiah's initial response to his vision of the Lord is not confidence, but collapse. Woe is me, for I am lost. Confronted with divine holiness, Isaiah becomes intensely aware of his own impurity, particularly his unclean lips, an acknowledgement not only of personal sin, but of his solidarity with the sinful people. The Ignatius Catholic Study Bible notes that Isaiah, like Moses and Jeremiah before him, recoils at the gravity of being drawn into the presence of the divine. But the remedy is neither abstract nor symbolic. A seraph flies to the altar, retrieves a burning coal with tongs, and places it directly on Isaiah's lips. This is no poetic flourish. It is a painful purification. Holiness wounds before it heals. The divine fire does not merely cleanse, it marks Isaiah as one now consecrated for sacred speech. This moment of fiery purification reveals the logic of divine vocation. Grace precedes mission. Isaiah's shame is not dismissed, it is burned away. Only then does the Lord speak, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah responds without hesitation, "Here I am, send me." The prophet's readiness is not self-confidence, but surrender. Bergsma and Petrie underscore that Isaiah's commission flows not from innate qualification, but from divine initiative and sacramental transformation. He is now a vessel sanctified by suffering and empowered to speak a word not his own. As the New Testament affirms, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me," Isaiah's lips, once unclean, are now set apart for the glory of God. The enduring impact of this scene has been noted by both Catholic and Protestant commentators. R.C. Sproul reflects, only after Isaiah was cleansed could he be commissioned. Grace preceded service. Isaiah's trembling response is not weakness, but the foundation of true mission, rooted in an encounter with holiness and sustained by divine mercy. This is the pedagogy of God. He sanctifies before he sins. The altar coal that sears Isaiah's mouth also ignites his calling. His words now carry fire, not his own, but God's.
I love that. I think it's so it seems so paradoxical to us because I think we so often think, oh, we have to prove ourselves and get as good as we can and bolster ourselves up in a way. And I think it's beautiful that the way that you wrote Isaiah's trembling response is not weakness, but the foundation of true mission. Rooted in an encounter with holiness and sustained by divine mercy. Just remembering that it's actually not about what we do or what we can bring, but actually the learning how to surrender and give ourselves up to God for His will.
That's right. I think I'll paraphrase a quote I see every day from Mother Teresa, that goes something to the effect that he's not looking for success as much as he's looking for faithfulness in attending to what he's asking of us, right? The Lord will take care of the end product. He's just looking for us to help cooperate with that. And to do it with a humility, realizing, right, he is the vine. He's the sap. He's where the strength will come from. We just need to stay grafted to him. All right, let us pick up in the next episode with the two audiences, contemporary and generational. Till then, my friends, fides et ratio.